Clinton, thank you so much for joining me on the 2SER Daily.
My pleasure, Steph.
Okay, now, what does gay conversion therapy actually involve?
Well, at its essence, it really is pseudoscientific practices that are aimed at changing an individual's sexual orientation or gender. Essentially, you know, trying to change someone's sexual orientation from, say, lesbian, gay or bisexual to straight is a very common goal. But it can also even include someone trying to change their gender identity from transgender or non-binary to cisgender, which is cisgender meaning that a person's identity and gender corresponds with their birth sex.
Yeah, right. And so what sort of, like, people, institutions engage in this sort of therapy?
Look, it really is, it's hard to say. What we know from limited information, it's certainly gone more underground, but there's certainly a religious flavour to many of the organisations that are still engaging in this, such as hidden evangelical churches and ministries is sometimes the case. But unfortunately, there's also people in private practices that are still practising this unfounded approach.
Yeah, right. And is there any evidence whatsoever that this type of therapy actually works?
No, absolutely not. The conversion therapy is dangerous and discredited. It's actually opposed by many professional medical and human rights bodies. Even in Australia, we have the Australian Psychological Society, the Australian Medical Association have opposed it, and even the United Nations. So, and I think it comes from, you know, way back, I mean, certainly homosexuality was treated as a mental illness, but that really hasn't been the case since 1973. You know, we go back a very long way to when that was discredited. And certainly being transgender is no longer treated as a mental illness either, since it was removed from the psychological manual back in 2013.
Mm. Now, you've got experience working with people who have undergone this gay conversion therapy. What sort of lasting effects have you seen on these people, and what can they have on people?
Yeah, it can be varied, Steph. I mean, when you think about the coming out process for an LGBTQI person, it often is a process of dealing and working through things like internalized homophobia or feelings of shame and stigma of being different. And the big problem with conversion therapy is it can very much reinforce those feelings of self-hatred that a person may already be struggling with. And this can increase guilt, isolation, depression, anxiety, self-destructive behavior. We know that there's often increased substance abuse in these individuals. And very sadly, the suicide rates of people that have engage in some kind of conversion therapy are very high. We think they're even maybe doubled or tripled to the general population of LGBT people who have not gone through conversion therapy. So it's incredibly destructive to many people.
Mm. And the LGBTQI community receives a lot more support these days than even, say, a decade ago, obviously, with gay marriage and, as you mentioned, you know, things like transgenderism not being considered, mental defects now. Are these procedures still common as compared to even a decade ago?
Look, it is very hard to say. There's no studies in regards to the prevalence of conversion therapy in Australia today. I mean, the closest that I've seen is that the UK, the United Kingdom, did do a national LGBTQI survey that showed about 2% of respondents had been offered conversion therapy. So it is hard to say, but I think even the fact that there's even a very low percentage of people that are still being offered this, it's very concerning because of the severe mental health issues that present when someone goes through conversion therapy.
Mm, certainly. And now, this might be a tough question, but we do have a history here in Australia of having quite religious leaders. And Scott Morrison sort of was questioned about gay conversion therapy, and he said, I don't support it, but it's a matter for the states. Do you think that sort of religion playing a part in our politics contributes to a lack of action here in New South Wales and in some of the other states where gay conversion therapy is still legal?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Actually, I'm not aware of the Prime Minister's religious beliefs, how it might be influencing what he said there. I think it is positive that he says he doesn't support it, but absolutely a more comprehensive approach is needed. I mean, I think the scary thing is that conversion practices, are, as you say, are still legal in most of Australia, despite the very clear harms they can cause to young people. And I can't really understand why there has been a delay in just making this a uniform approach across Australia. I mean, certainly many countries have already banned it, like Brazil, Germany, parts of Spain, and the United States has now banned conversion therapy. Canada's moving towards a national ban. The European Parliament's condemned the practice. I think Boris Johnson's also pledging a ban in the UK. So it seems to me that it's very much a good time for us to kind of get on board with this and just outlaw it in the country.
Yeah, certainly. And what kind of support is on offer to someone who has actually undergone or been offered gay conversion therapy procedures?
Look, Steph, I think it's really important that people connect with positive LGBT role models. Certainly connecting with a gay affirmative therapist or counsellor can be really helpful if someone's been psychologically harmed by conversion therapy. But also there's great groups and organisations out there as well. I know that in Sydney there's 2010, which is a wonderful organisation that provides free support and social programs for LGBTQI youth. There's Q Life, which is that's an Australia-wide anonymous peer support and chat and phone support, which is great. And there's also PFLAG Australia, which is a great organisation for parents of lesbian and gay people. And I know that many parents, when their child has come out and those parents that have reached out to PFLAG, it can be incredibly helpful because they can talk to other parents who have children who are LGBT. So that can be helpful. And also in Sydney and New South Wales, there's the Gender Centre, which is great. That's for trans and gender diverse people in New South Wales. And ACON does great work with LGBTQI people and people living with HIV. So there's certainly resources out there. And I would strongly encourage anyone who's been through a conversion therapy process to reach out to those resources.
Super, super important stuff. That's all we have time for this morning, Clinton. But thank you so much for joining me to talk about this important subject.
My pleasure. Great to speak with you, Steph.